What's up, guys? Mike here, host of The Mac Effect, welcoming you guys. Give me a second. Actually, I have someone that's going to help me with the intro right now. What's up, guys? I actually have a special little guest helping me out with the introduction. What's up, Abigail?
Hi.
Say hi to everyone.
Hi, guys.
Say welcome.
Welcome.
To The Mac Effect.
To The Mac Effect.
Your host.
Your host.
Abigail.
Abigail.
Here to introduce.
Here to introduce.
Our special guest.
Our special guest.
Who is it?
My mom.
Your mom. There we go. Let's get it. What's up, guys? Well, thank you for that introduction. Let's give a round of applause to Abigail. But yes, thank you, sister, for coming back to The Mac Effect.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Part two. And you can say, I know there's probably a thought in your mind like, what the heck are we going to talk about? I thought we covered a lot of stuff the first time. But no, people had questions. People have, thoughts about your process and what have you. And you know what? I think as a person that I have seen you grow and develop and mature, there's a lot of wisdom that you can give a lot of people. But before we get to there, I do want to ask you, now that you did do episode or the first episode that you did with me, how did you feel? How did you feel with that first reaction from either people, friends, family members? Like, how did that make you feel?
Well, I definitely want to say thank you for having me again and giving us the space and opportunity to share our story. And I also want to say thank you to all of my friends, all of the family that has been supportive of all your episodes, but obviously the one that I came out last time. Yeah. I am very proud of you because, again, being part of this makes me understand like what it entails, like what a podcast entails.
Yeah.
And obviously I have a level of admiration for all that you're doing. But it was obviously still something that I'm not like super comfortable with because it's not my, like what I do.
Yeah. This isn't your day in, day out.
Definitely. But it was definitely a blessing. It was like great feedback that I received from strangers, from, people that did watch the episode. Yeah. And I do hope that, again, my story, my life, something that I've gone through that has caused pain and or some kind of growing process can bless someone else.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that you said right now, you see, because we're not used to, I want to say I'm a little bit, but I'm not 100% used to like cameras, microphones and stuff like that. Obviously, doing the reality show and stuff like that, you get a little bit used to. But right now you even said, the comments that you got from strangers, right? Like when you're doing this, you start realizing, I don't want to say the word fans because I'm like, I don't think I have fans, but I have viewers, I have listeners, and you start learning the terminology more like, and it's not a bad thing. It's just because one's not used to it. You're like, well, these are complete strangers, but it's listeners and viewers that are coming back consistently that are like, dude, it's teaching me stuff. And you taught a lot of things. One of the reasons why I wanted to bring you is because I know we dabbled a little bit about where you work, your marital status that, a lot of people were interested in. And you guys can continue sending resumes. Let's go. But I wanted to bring you more on board, sister, because, quite frankly, I like being open and vulnerable. I like showing people what I do in times of my need, in times that I'm sad, in times that I need guidance from the Lord, or I share with people also the importance of obeying God than rather just going with what your feeling is telling you to do. Big difference in those two situations. But I wanted to hear a little bit more deeper in your story. Like, obviously life has not been easy or perfect for you, but I know that there's been an inner healing that has happened in you. My first question, I guess, would be, when did you become kind of aware that you needed to heal the little girl inside of you? Like, how old were you?
I feel like I was a late bloomer for actual real healing.
Yeah.
I feel that when our parents divorced, I definitely, like I expressed in the first episode, I experienced it very different than you did.
Correct.
So I was the person that was with my mom when she was like confronting the mistress. I was with my mom at the court hearings. I was like that child that was kind of like put in the middle.
Yeah.
And very aware of what was happening. And although we want to say that.
Why were you in the middle? Because like my mom needed help translating and all that stuff.
Yes. So I've always kind of had that role in our family where I've been like the people, the person that people go to for help, for support.
Yes. Can you read this document? I don't understand what this word says. Can you please elaborate? And you definitely do.
And, you know, I'm thankful for that because, again, every member of our family has a purpose and a and some kind of, you know, gift or talent. So I guess that was mine, right? Where ever since I was younger, my mom kind of would use me for translations, but I was that person that she would say, vente, vámonos, tengo que ir a archivar este papel en, el, en la corte. Because of what she was going through with my dad.
Yeah.
I was very close to my dad.
Yeah.
Besides him taking you to the charreadas, he was taking me before you came along.
Interesting.
And so I didn't know that. I would go with him like Saturdays. We would ride horses. And I was close to him. So when the divorce happened, it really affected me, you know? So I remember that I, you know, asked counselors at my elementary school for some kind of therapy. And then growing up and going through like your 20s and going through relationship issues or dating, you know, situations, I pursued therapy, but I never felt like I was really healing like my internal child or really developing growth from it.
Correct.
Okay. It was up until I became a mom. Like they say that when you become a mom, you see things in a very different light. And I felt like that's truly what happened to me. Because at that point, I felt like I really didn't want to repeat the cycle of any mistakes or issues that have gone on in my childhood. I really want to be able to be the best version of myself so that Abigail is paying the least consequences because of how I conduct myself.
Quick question. You're saying when you became a mother, this is just out of like pure interest, might be a dumb question, but I just think it's sometimes men don't understand the perspective of women. When you say when you became a mother, is it literally when Abigail came out or is it when she was conceived and she was in your belly that it started transitioning you?
So during my pregnancy, the moment I knew that she was, well, I think that the moment I knew I was pregnant, I knew that was like the game-changing moment where Yvette cannot just do whatever she wants because she's going to have somebody watching her.
Yeah.
And I really want it to break cycles. Like, I really do not want, like, patterns of my past to continue. Not to say that it was, like, so horrible, but obviously there was a lot of pain and hurt, disappointment growing up.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And I just knew that I didn't want my daughter to pay consequences.
Yeah.
And although I'm, you know, Tanya has helped me, you know, understand there's things I can't protect her. Like, it's part of, you know, being brought up at a in a single family household. But there's more, like, healthy communication because of my healing process. Yeah.
And during your healing process, who was walking with you in discovering, like, oh, this little girl has daddy issues, this little girl has mommy issues? Like, who was the person walking with you in this path? You don't have to disclose, like, names if you don't want to. But I'm just trying to, the reason why I'm asking so that you can kind of see where I'm trying to go is like, I want viewers and listeners that see this because some of them are like, man, I feel like I need that help. I feel like I need to do it. And they don't know what would be the next step. And it's like, you got to find the right mentor, right friendship, right counselor. Who was that person for you?
So I feel like I have a lot of people, right?
Okay.
Obviously, God was present in my life. Although like I didn't follow certain things according to, you know, the word. But as I had mentioned, I had gone to like my, you know, Kaiser's therapist.
Okay. They're
great people, but it didn't resonate with me growing and developing and healing. Like, I was just going as a repetition, but not like feeling like I'm getting somewhere or healing areas of me, right?
So, I've heard people say that, and it's not to bash it, but it's very like more just like about the superficial, like just the stuff on top.
And I guess
it's not really deep.
And I guess like I tried, right? And I've always been big on like reading self-help books and, you know, trying to listen to podcasts that kind of like challenge my way of thinking. And I like to learn. But it wasn't until I encountered Breath of Life, and specifically have been working with Tanya for off and on, you know, a couple of years, is when I started healing my inner child.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized so many things that I had not realized, but it was definitely a shock to realize I'm in my 30s and I'm barely starting to feel free.
Yeah, yeah. And you, I love it. By any chance, do you know what issues were the ones that were rising after you were digging deep, like what was coming out?
So before I answer that question, I do want to go back to the first one that you mentioned. So I've always been close to my family. Like, I've always had all of your guys' support. I do want to say that I have one friend in particular that I would call like literally every morning until this day I talk to. I have a group of friends from high school as well. So these are friendships that I've had for very long periods of times. And one thing I can tell you is that my friends are the kind of people that hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So they would tell me, you know, to do the right thing for myself in pursuit of my healing, not like reckless behavior, right? So I do have to be very thankful to have a good, you know, set of friends that have been in my life for a lot of years, decades, that have helped me and supported me. You know, being a single mom and just, you know, going through life could get challenging. So I'm thankful for that.
Okay, good.
Group of people.
How do you feel like when they give you advice that, let's be honest, you really just don't like hearing that? You're like, I kind of don't like, your flesh says, I don't like that advice you just gave me. But how did Yvette react to that?
Well, it's not easy, right? Like when you hear something you don't want to, especially when I was going through like adjusting to being a single mom. That's not what I had signed up for. But life throws you curveballs and you just have to kind of face them head on. And, you know, there was one friend in particular that she would say it with love. I knew it was coming from love. But I would tell her, what you're telling me is not making me feel any better. Mm. And it was because obviously I was still in my emotions and in my, you know, process of healing. And now, like, time has gone, you know, past. And now I just realized, like, oh, my God, everything she would say was so true.
One thing, like, off the top of your head that she would say that you're like, I didn't believe it back then. But now I'm like, dude, it was 100% right.
That it was going to pass. Like, the situation, the storm, the challenge, the pain, it was going to eventually go away.
Wow.
And it's something that, you know, I'm so thankful for, because now I'm thankful for that. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, I'm thankful for those tears. I'm thankful for the struggles, for the challenges, for the pain, because it's helped me grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just shown me, like, the strength.
Wow. Well, I mean, you just blessed me right there. Like, and I'm still kind of like, maybe I'm you back then, where there's a part of me that's like, I don't know, but I'm choosing to have more faith in God. And it's like, okay, if people say it, if God says, you know, that, you know, don't worry about anything, pray about everything and really focus in his truth, then yeah, it should.
I think that with what you just said right now, I might be that friend to you right now.
Correct.
Where I might tell you certain things and they might not be adding up.
Correct.
And they might not be making you feel much better.
100%.
But I can tell you that in due time, it's going to make sense.
Yeah.
It's going to resonate and you're going to remember all that you've gone through.
Yeah.
And you're going to be thankful because it is bringing resilience out of you. And those are the things that I've learned with Tanya's help that, again, I'm so thankful for her team and for Tanya. because it was when I started working with her that I started realizing that I needed to heal my inner child, forgive my dad for the abandonment. Like, I felt abandoned by him.
Daddy issues.
Definitely, because I was so close to him, I felt disappointed. But now I accept both my parents for who they are, for, you know, with their flaws and all. They did the best that they could. And now I feel like I'm more aware of how I conduct myself because I have a little one that's watching.
I mean, you brought it back on your own, which I'm grateful for when it comes to the issues that you were healing. So it's safe to say it's a daddy issue. Mm-hmm. You had a mommy issue as well?
Not a lot with my mom. It was mostly my dad. Because I don't know if you remember on the first episode, I kind of referenced how I ended up dating men that kind of mimicked, you know, my dad.
Yeah.
Not because I was trying to find a dad, but it was more like the psychological part of us that 100%. Hasn't healed
100%.
Gravitates to the unhealthy stuff, right?
Yep. And it happens to a lot of us. This is not just the you thing. Mm-hmm. That's why I created the Mac Effect. That's why I created this safe space, because the reality is, through your story, what you're sharing, someone, I'm praying, that is listening and watching can say, you know what? I didn't know I had mommy issues, daddy issues. A lot of these problems that we face, whether, you know, picking the wrong spouse, and I don't even like saying, quote unquote, the wrong spouse, because a lot of the times it's not that you pick the wrong one. It's there's a lot of healing that needs to take place because you're broken and they're broken. It creates a broken environment. But when both heal, then everyone else heals as well. I've shared and very open with the audience, sister, that there was issues. You know, there was an episode where I brought family members in that were like, you're a different Mike now. And it's like, yeah, because back then I was broken. Now I'm understanding the difference in how to communicate. Does that make me a bad person? No, it makes me a person that was broken. It makes me a person that is starting to love himself. And now I'm even seeing it in the way I can communicate with my kids, in the way I'm raising them, in the way I'm disciplining them. Like, there's not much yelling. Yeah, they'll happen here and there, but it's more of like we're communicating very openly. And I see that with Abby, to be honest with you. I share it with you. I share it with my mom. I tell my mom, I'm like, man, like I could pick her up from school and be like, I'm going to take you to McDonald's. What little kid, if their Nino picks them up, is not going to say, heck yeah, let's go. She's like, let me call my mom and ask. And I'm like, dude, it's okay. Like, we don't need to ask her. Like, this is on me. Let's do it. But she has that respect for you to be like, no, my mom has taught me. And I know that people can be like, that's controlling. It's not controlling. You're teaching your daughter how to honor her mom. And if I'm asking you, just ask me. And it's not like you answer the phone and are like, nope. You, right away, you're like, yes. It's more teaching her the ethic of ask for permission, because your life does not just belong to you. It belongs to me and us, and we're a team.
So I wanted to just kind of elaborate there. So I'm teaching Abby that we're a team.
Yeah.
Abby and I are a perfect family, although it's just a party of two.
Yeah.
Every family is different. So I teach her the same respect she has for me, I have for her. So I communicate with her if I have a meeting that I'm going to, or if I have an outing that I have to go to, because I want to establish that respect with one another.
Mm-hmm.
People could say as well, like, oh, you're a little strict with Abby. Well, I consider it boundaries, because one day she's going to be without her mom. And I want to prepare her enough to have respect for others.
Yeah.
And to hold a regard for, you know, adults. And always, of course, I'm the only parent that's, you know, watching her. So I do try to emphasize that you need to have a regard for me, since I am your mom, but we're a team at the end of the day.
Where do you think you learned these, you know, to teach her how to have boundaries, self-respect for herself? Like, where did this come for you?
Making mistakes, like, in life. Life teaches you a lot of lessons. And I had to learn that I was in my 30s and I had not healed my inner child. And I didn't set boundaries for myself. And so going back to what I had mentioned, when I learned that Abby was a little girl, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I really started taking therapy serious. I started sessions twice a month, reading books, and just trying to change those bad habits. Like, I was a people pleaser. I was someone that didn't know what a boundary was. And you mentioned also that, you know, when you grow and you develop, people say, well, you're different. Well, then sometimes you even have to combat with that, because people are not acceptant of the fact that you're no longer going to tolerate certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
Not because you're trying to be mean, but just because that's not okay with me anymore.
Yeah, agree. I agree with you, sister. As you heal, you start seeing the brokenness around you. Mm-hmm. That before, when like certain, you know, your mom would be like, or dad would be like, no, you go say hi to your uncle. And it's like, well, he's hurt my feelings, or she's hurt my feelings. Like, no, like, there has to be a talk. Like, that wasn't right, or whatever.
Well, that was our culture. When you arrive, you say hi to everyone. Yeah. And that's something I've learned with my daughter, and I don't teach her that. Maybe to some people that's wrong, but I will explain.
Yeah.
There has been proof and study show that if you force a child to say hello, even a simple hello to someone they're not comfortable with, a lot of the abuses that occur within families.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taught my daughter that we're respectful with our family, but you are not in any obligation to hug, kiss, or get close to someone you're not comfortable with. That's setting a boundary and letting her know that whatever her emotions are, she is okay with respecting her space and herself.
I love it. I love it.
Those have been things that we didn't learn growing up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that God has taught me through my healing is, like, I tell all my kids, including Jayla, I would always tell them, guys, and in front of their mom, even when mom's not around, with anybody, I would tell my kids, if anyone is touching you inappropriately, and even if that person is me, you need to tell your mom, you need to tell someone. And why do I include myself there, sister? Because I want them to know that no matter who does it in this world, it is not acceptable. Because I knew I wasn't, so it's like, I really don't care. But I'm trying to show them no one is allowed. And that has been such a big blessing, because God shows me the reality is, when you're someone that's walking in integrity, there shouldn't be secrets. There shouldn't be, I'm hiding this from that person. Like, even your kids, like, I'm so happy that they have my password. They go in and they're like, dad, this and that. And I'm like, go for it. I'm not hiding anything.
Well, sometimes that could be challenging, because you don't want them to see
certain things. Of course.
So there's always has to be like boundaries and limits. Now that they're getting older, we have to be very mindful of that as well, because it happens with Abby where she wants my phone and she sees like I'm planning a surprise for her and she already figures out what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think like a lot of stuff I've also bounced off of you, and, you know, I continue to try to just grow and learn so I could be
a balance. Better, you're right.
You know, a better mom.
Yeah. And when I said, you know, they know everything, it's not like they know everything that is kid appropriate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's adult things that it's like, you know, no, I'm not talking about this, or you don't get details on that. You know, they even started asking after we started playing a game of Monopoly, like, what are taxes? And I'm like, you're too little, but when you get older, I'll explain, and you're not going to like them the same way we all do. You're not going to like them. Don't worry about it. But okay, coming back though, a question that is definitely in my heart to ask you is, when you were going through your healing, which one area was the area that was really hard for you to heal? Like, that brought out tears, that brought out anger, that brought out, you know, you're like, man, this one just needed work.
Ooh, that one's kind of hard because I feel like healing overall is painful. It's not something that I could tell you, like, I look forward to this every day. It was kind of like, I sometimes would be like,
it's for the brave.
It would, like, physically literally cause pain because it was through, like, a stage where obviously I was going through a breakup and I was a full-time mom with a, you know, newborn. So you have all these hormones that are going on. And that season caused for everything to come out, like the disappointment that I had with my dad, the disappointment that I had with, you know, Abby's dad, because the situation didn't work out as I had thought or had wanted.
Planned, yeah.
And then just things in life. And I think all of it was painful, but I think it was more like learning that I needed to set boundaries for myself and love myself.
Yeah, yeah.
People would tell me all the time, es que te tienes que querer, you know, love yourself. And I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, I do love myself. But it clicked. It finally clicked. Like, if you don't set a boundary and allow someone to know, I'm sorry, but you cannot, like, be passive aggressive with me, or I'm sorry, you can't scream at me, or, oh, I'm sorry, you can't just ignore me and what I'm feeling or what you're causing me. That's not loving yourself if you allow someone to repeatedly do that kind of behavior. And that's what I failed to understand. Mm. So now it's something that I don't tolerate, that I use love to try to let you know that, like, that's not okay with me. And then if that doesn't work, then I have to kind of set myself apart from it.
Yeah.
Not because I'm better than anyone, not because I feel that I'm superior. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with I'm a mom and my peace is priority. Because as you know, if we don't have peace and if we're not okay, it bleeds into our lives and with our kids.
Yeah, agree.
And that's where I learned that.
And what's something that you look back at, Yvette, that didn't know how to love herself back then, that you're like, I was so dumb, que me dejé in this situation, this and this and that?
I think I have so much, right? Like, so many stories I could say, but I would just say, like, I allowed a lot of people sometimes to treat me in ways that I didn't deserve. But full circle, God uses those moments to show us with time that then people realize they were wrong for doing what they did to you.
Yeah.
And full circle, they kind of come back to your life, realizing they were also wrong. Yeah. But I think that also trying to please everyone, unfortunately, it's something that happens. We have expectations for people. Like, I expected maybe certain behaviors, like when I was, you know, recently broken up with Abby's dad. And because they wouldn't happen, it would affect me so much. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now I've realized those are expectations.
Yeah.
So I've also learned to have no expectations from people.
Thank you, Tanya.
Yes. Thank you, Tanya, because it's hard, but it's something that it's almost like automatic. As us humans, we crave, like, you know, that love and affirmation from our loved ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Y yo sin saber o pensarle, I would have an expectation, well, I'm going to do this.
But that's the reason why I said thank you, Tanya, because that's the reason why I say we need the right people around us. Mm-hmm. You didn't know. Someone needed to teach you, hey, you're putting expectations, and the only thing that you can expect something from is yourself. Mm-hmm. You cannot have expectations on anyone else. Mm-hmm. That thought of, I'm going to do this so that this person can do this. Nope. Wrong way of thinking, because you don't do something to expect something in return.
And the level of peace that takes you to,
yes,
it's crazy. Absolutely. It's life changing.
Absolutely.
Because before, que si no, que si esto, que, and now I'm like, none of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And now I live a much peaceful life. Yep. I have you know, less drama.
Yep.
And I'm like, why didn't I learn this before?
We didn't know. We didn't know. And the reason why I ask about, like, do you have a specific detail that you can look back and just be like, oy, que mensa fui. Again, not because I'm trying to remind you that you were dumb, but we are naive. I'm naive. Like, I look at things that I've done in the past and I'm like, whoa, I cannot believe that was me. But I thank God he's giving me the wisdom to now know to not repeat that. I can't change the past, but I'm not repeating the past.
Definitely. And that's, I feel like, the goal, right?
Yeah.
To be at a place in your life where you do hold yourself accountable to not be repeating the same mistakes and going through the cycle that I have always wanted and desired to break.
Yeah.
That we grew up in, or that was taught to us, right? Yep. Growing up. Yep. That's always been my intention. Obviously, there's no perfect person. I'm definitely far from perfect. I make mistakes, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to hear ways to become better and be accountable.
In your healing process, because right now, I'm going to be honest, I'm trying to get it out of you, but I don't see it, sister, but I know why I don't see it. You know, in your healing process, did you cry a lot?
I did. The moment Tanya would come on the phone, I would just start bawling.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that I feel a little emotional today. So much has gone on. You know, like, it's been a year since we've been on your podcast. And so much has gone on. Good, bad, growing pains.
Yeah.
Disappointments, happy tears. But yes, like, the moment that Tanya, I would literally have Tanya on the phone, I would tell her, like, I don't know why I'm crying, but I just felt like, you know, like, I just couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
And I have moments now where there was a time where I didn't want to cry in front of Abby because I didn't want her to see me crying. But then Tanya told me one time, like, she needs to know, you know, real life, like, you have emotions and life won't always be perfect. And it was almost like a sense of relief. Like, I could just let it out and not feel embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Show vulnerability.
I am a very emotional person, but obviously I'm trying to, you know.
No. I know that you are an emotional person, and I know that the pain that you've gone through of healing, the reason why I know that you're not shedding a lot of tears when it's like looking back at yourself and seeing how dumb you were or how disappointed you felt with your father, our dad, with mom, with whoever, right? Family members. I say it because when you're healing, you no longer cry because you healed from it. You let it go. You're saying things, though, that I know, for example, viewers are listening and they hear you say daddy issues, you know, abandonment. I felt like, you know, I was so close to him and he left me. Someone listens to that and they're crying right now. Mm-hmm. And as they're crying, that is their indicator that a healing needs to take place. Mm-hmm. You don't cry about it any. Like Tanya, when she shares her testimony, she doesn't cry about what happened in the past. She tells me, you know, from my first marriage and this and that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, you speak of it so easy, but because for her, it's like, I've healed. And there are certain things with me, too, that when I speak of now, I'm like, I didn't know how to love myself. I'm still learning. So there's times where I still get choked up. I still cry a little bit. But man, did God do a work in me in my room, sister. Like, I'm writing a letter to myself. I'm telling myself those sorry.
Those letters were hard, though.
I'm crying. And I'm crying for like a good 15, 20 minutes. But Tanya tells me, my mentor, Rudy, tells me tears are good. The world makes it seem that crying is bad, but crying is one of the biggest antidepressants that you can take. It heals. It releases. You are less stressed. That's why everyone... Cuando da una buena llorada, una buena chillada, están at the very end. Why? Because that's your body knowing how to let go of those things. So I love not crying all the time, but I definitely do like to cry because it shows me that there's something that's being processed and let go. And I know that right now when you share certain things, you know, like your relationship that you're saying, it didn't go the way I thought, I planned. Mm-hmm. When things, let's be honest, guys, when things do not go our plan, do we really sit here like that and just are super composed? No. We do things that are erratic. Oh, hell no. Did he just slam the door? Did he just walk out? I'm going to go grab his stuff and I'm going to go throw it outside and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to, like, hacemos cosas que we can name them ridiculous. But with healing, you understand, you look back and you're like, wow, it was all because of lack of love. And that's why it's so important to heal. And I give, you know, you say, I can't believe I'm in my late 30s, blah, 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 and I'm barely doing this. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, sister? It's better that you're doing it in your late 30s because Abby is not going to do it in her late 30s. Mm-hmm. Abby's going to do it in her early 10s, in her early 15s. Mm-hmm. She's going to know, wait a sec, like, look at how beautiful this is. At least for me, this is beautiful. When she's in a relationship and the guy starts treating her bad the first time, because of the love that you have taught her how to love herself, she's going to know, I don't need to put up with this. Mm-hmm. And just walk away. When we would be like, what did I do wrong? Maybe I stepped over. And you overthink it so much that's why we stay in that abusive relationship for years, mm-hmm. just letting them treat us like crap.
And that's exactly what my purpose was when I found out she was coming. Like, yeah. I said, I can't do this. Crazy. I can't have her live in the same patterns that I, you know, lived, because she deserves better.
Yeah.
And yeah. I deserve better. And I need to be okay and I need to be healthier for her. Mm. And that's my intention. Every Valentine's, I buy her flowers since she was born. Wow. And people say I'm crazy or extra, and I'm okay with that, but my intention is to let her know that's the standard.
Yeah.
And yeah. I will be here showing you what it is to love yourself and what the standard should be, because you deserve it and because you're loved.
Yeah.
And it's been God's grace that, you know, helps me continue this healing journey, because it's not easy. It's not fun sometimes. I remember I used to try to cancel my sessions with Tanya because I was like, no, I don't want to deal with this today. But I'm thankful that I kept, you know, focused. And till this day, I don't see her that often now. Thank God, like, you know, I don't need to. But she's given me great tools, and God has used her so much in my life. I'm just so thankful.
But even then, I hear you once in a while, like, I'm going to reach out to her and book another one. I'm going to reach out to her and book another one, because it's honestly, it's never ending, but it's so good once you do heal your main to keep going for just checkups and checkups and checkups like a doctor. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wanted to go switch it a little bit, because right now when you said, you know, you buy her flowers every Valentine's Day, sister, a thought came in my heart right now. And it's just so important to do these little things. Like, who cares, first of all, whatever people say, because they're not the ones that are going to be there for Abby when she gets her heart broken. They're not the ones that are going to be there when she needs to learn how to stand up for herself. They're not the ones that are going to be there doing anything for her. So you have to do whatever you think is best for your child, for your kids. Last school year, yo le regalé flores a all the women, you know, their mom, Genevieve Villajela. And I gave it to them before school started. So I thought they were just going to, you know, put them in their rooms and that's it. And I was getting a little teary right now when you said that, because ahorita que I look back, I remember that Jayla was so excited that she took her flowers to school. Mm-hmm. Because, and it makes me cry, because it's like you can see it without someone having to tell you. What that little girl wanted to show is her friends, like, look, mm-hmm. look what Dad gave me.
Mm-hmm. I'm loved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what our girls need. Mm-hmm. Men need it too, obviously in different ways. It's not like Jordan's going to go to school with flowers in his hands, but he definitely needs it in different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what this world craves deeply is love, Yvette. Love. Like I was talking in one of my previous episodes with Prince Purpose. I'm like, think about it, bro. Everyone in this world, like, what is it that we fight? Like even the people that you think are like super bad guys, like drug lords or whatever, what do they have at home that they're trying to protect with all their power? Their woman, their kids, love. It all comes back to love.
But I think it has to be a healthy love.
Correct.
Because again, we have to be very intentional, right? The flowers, whether I give it to her or not, I have to also reinforce it with the consistency and boundaries of love and loving yourself,
right? On a year in and year out basis. Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've also learned it's not what you tell your children, it's how you conduct yourself. Mm. Because they're watching you. I can say, you know, anything till I turn blue to Abby, but she needs to see it within me.
Yeah, true, true. I mean, Tanya has mentioned it to me many times. You know, I feel like we're like, Tanya, but it's like, bro, that's where the healing breath of life. I've always shared it with you guys. They're there. All the counselors have been screened, vetted. Schooling is there. Masters is there. I mean, it's insane how everyone is built to help you. But it's the truth that when you get this healing, you just understand like, oh, I needed to go through that process and this process. And you fit.
And I wanted to mention something. You know, when you go to a store or you like a pair of shoes and you're like, sharing it consistently, like, oh, esta receta me funcionó, esta medicina me funcionó. Well, it's the same with this therapy.
Yeah,
that's why we bring it up so much, because at least for me, I'm just at a point where it liberated me so much that I do want to share that with people. Like, I do want to say, you know, 50 times that she was so good to me and it worked out for me, because I hope that you can experience the same.
That's right.
That I've experienced.
That's right.
The intention behind it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Sister, it's been a very good episode so far. I feel like we can always dig deeper. Is there a specific topic or subject or something that's in your heart that you're like, I kind of would want to share this a little bit?
I guess it's just a matter of perspective. Like, always remind yourself it's how you view things, and no matter what life brings to you, there will be a point in your life, if you do have the intentionality to heal your traumas, that you will look back and be thankful for those challenges. So never be afraid, never be at a place of not having hope, faith, love, grace, or joy in your heart, that you get so clouded with, you know, issues or life and its challenges. Just stay hopeful, because the day will come where you're going to be thankful for all that you've gone through, because it brings resilience to your life.
For viewers and listeners that are watching, I want to add a little bit more to that, what you're saying, in the sense of like, You're telling someone out there, sister, that mm-hmm. they're going through something that they feel is unfair, mm-hmm. to remain hopeful, to remain in joy, mm-hmm. to remain in grace. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, definitely, because you're going to get overwhelmed. Life is like that, right? It's challenging. You know, there's going to be things that you don't want to hear, like the doctor mentioned something to you that's not
pleasant.
Life gets busy.
You found out that certain family members are saying this about you, or I get what you're saying.
I think that it's a matter of just the way you perceive it.
Yeah,
you could let it, you know, consume you and take you to a level of depression or sadness, and let me just stay in my room. But we have to really push forward, especially if we have little ones, to be very intentional on staying hopeful and, you know, pursuing God's grace and favor so that we can overcome it. And I can promise you that it will get better.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
From personal experience.
And before we end the podcast, I want to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, because you mentioned, you know, we have little ones. I want to do something a little special with you and your little one, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back right now. What's up, guys? Welcome back. Thank you for giving us those 2 seconds in your world, but it was like 10 minutes on my side. So thank you guys for being patient. But we're here with the beautiful Abigail. Hi, Abigail.
Hi, Nino.
I know you helped us out in the beginning with the introduction of the podcast, so thank you for that. But I have a couple questions for you and for your mom. You guys mind if I ask you guys some couple questions?
Sure.
Okay. First, we'll start with Abby. Abby, these are 4 questions that I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to ask your mom. Abby, what's your favorite color?
Pink and purple.
Pink and purple. What is your favorite activity to do with your mom?
Watch a movie and eat snacks.
Mm, delicious. What's your favorite candy or snack?
That's hard. Either.
Jordan and Genevieve said the same thing. They're like, there's so many, Dad. Like, how do I pick one or two? Like, what's your favorite snack?
Something cheese, like Goldfish or Cheez Its. They're really good.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And what's your favorite activity to play, like to do, either with your mom or without your mom? It could be a sport, board game, video game.
VR.
Playing virtual reality. Which one, the roller coaster or what?
Searching, but looking at places.
Like different things or whatever?
I saw my house and then Melanie and...
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. All right. Sister, what's your favorite color?
Purple.
Purple. Well, see, you guys have something right there in common. Your favorite activity to do with Abigail?
Everything. Anything and everything I do with Abby, I enjoy. And I try to be present. But definitely, like, conversations with her, it's so interesting how smart she is.
What's your favorite candy?
I would say ice cream, even though it's technically not a candy, but that's what? More of my thing.
What's the flavor, though?
Cookies and cream.
Okay, all right. And your favorite activity to play or to do?
My favorite activity is just being outdoors, like anything that's outdoors. I like adventures.
Do you like to hike?
I do, but now that I'm a mom, it's been a little hard because there's always things going on, and I prefer
bro,
to take...
You have a Nino. Drop her off at me, and you go hike and go do your thing, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just... I don't
Abby
know.
Doesn't mind spending a day with her Nino.
Huh? Right?
Yeah, you see?
Thank you.
But these are good questions because, to be honest, like, even though we're siblings, I didn't know what was your favorite activity. I just asked if you know how to hike or did you like hiking, and it's like... It's crazy that you can be in someone's life for years and not know a lot about them. And it's like...
I've probably been to so many hiking trails than you have.
You actually been telling me of certain hiking trails. Okay. So, yeah. Abby, what is the funniest sound you can make?
Do I have to make it?
In- yes, because I need to hear it. What's like the funniest sound you can make?
If you're comfortable.
I don't want to share, but I can do a Stitch voice and like.
Oh my goodness, that's so awesome! You really do it really good. You want to know my funny sound? I showed it to Jordan and Genevieve. I could make sound of a water droplet. That's mine. Sister, what's the funniest sound
you're gonna make? No noise.
No,
that's not my thing.
That is her funniest voice.
No, that's okay. Not my thing.
Abigail, what's a joke you can think of like on the spot? Or a Riz line.
A Riz line.
And La Diferencia. If you guys have seen the other episodes, La Diferencia and hers, Genevieve was the one that brought it up herself. Like, are you talking about a Riz line? But, or a joke. Go ahead with a joke.
Why can't an egg tell jokes?
Why?
Because they'll get all cracked up.
One more. I know you have another one.
Don't say the answer because I told you this earlier.
Okay.
What bird can you make with two cans of soda?
I know the answer. You guys don't, but I do.
A toucan.
A toucan. Two cans of soda. You stack them up. Toucan. Oh, my goodness. That was a good one. When you showed it to me earlier, I was like, okay. This one gets a little bit more serious, but I want to just kind of get a little bit of a feeling of what Abby does. When you find yourself in something that is challenging, what does Abby do?
Call you.
I love it. Okay. What is something that you're proud of yourself?
I get a lot of good grades.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're good at math, reading, writing.
Writing's my first favorite.
Writing is your favorite subject? And, I always love asking my kids this one when I pick them up from school. What made you smile today?
Being on the Magnavox.
That's right. On what show?
On the Mac Effect.
On the Mac Effect. You heard that, guys. So if you guys, you guys got to keep supporting, got to keep subscribing, liking, commenting, and helping this podcast grow. Right, Abigail? Mm-hmm. And Abigail, before we close the episode, do you have shout outs that you want to make?
Yeah, I have a whole list.
Take the list out. Let's see it, bro. She literally made a list.
Okay.
Let's go.
Can I start from the last to the first?
You, this is your moment. You give shout outs to you, whoever you want. Get a little closer to the microphone.
First, my friends from school, Melanie, Danae, Ariella, and Valeria.
Say hello to them.
Melanie.
Hi. Danae.
Ariella.
And Valeria.
Ooh.
Okay, now. Jacob, Steve, Theo Juan, Andrew, Jaylene, Thea Chayo, Thea Licha, Miss Raimundo, Jordan, Jenna, JJ, Jayla, Miss Russell, and lastly, a YouTuber that's already on YouTube, Nick Wilkins,
if you are listening to this, I need you to comment, "Hi, Abigail." And I need you to also say hi to me because now I'm curious to find out who you are. All right? So please. Sister, anyone that you want to say hi to or thank you to or...
Just everyone that supports you because I know that I have a lot of friends that share
Griselda.
Our family.
The difference between a child and like an adult, right? Like we're kind of like, yeah, just it is what it is. You know, we just thank you guys. But yeah, I get what you're saying, sister, because I remember in a podcast that I came out in, they asked me like, you know, where can people find you? And I'm like, I don't do that. I just if you find me, you find me. But then God showed me like, dude, that could have been a good opportunity for your podcast or whatever. But it's all with growth. So, guys, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation that my sister and I had. I hope you guys enjoyed the little spurt of questions that I got to find out a little bit more of my sister. I promise you guys we're going to find out what noise my sister can make, and we're going to get her to share it with us. She's going to do it whether she likes it or not because God wants us to have a spirit of a child, and we got to get there. So, but other than that, I hope you guys learned something. I ask you guys, please do me a favor. If you guys have questions for my sister, comment them. If you guys have a question that I maybe mentioned a little bit of, but you want more details of, share it because we can all keep growing. And one thing that you guys know about Mike, he replies to every comment. So anything you share, you're getting that attention from us. So with that said, guys, thank you.
The Magnifac is closed.
Out. Peace.
Peace out.